Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this free podcast from Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and like and listen to your podcast wherever you pick up your podcast feed. You can also subscribe at theCelticUnderground.substack.com, where you will get email notification of new content as soon as it is out. And you can subscribe for free, or there'll be plenty of free content, articles and podcasts. But also, you can pay a small subscription and you'll get extra special content. Anyway, enough of me, on to today's free podcast.
Hi all, and welcome to Celtic Underground, what we could call this, our regular debrief plus preview, our weekly session. But there's nothing weekly about this because we've got an all new cast list. Quite excited about this. For the first time, two first timers with us on Celtic Underground, but they're old friends already because we've had a wee chat off air. So I'd like, without further ado, Keith McGinty, who many of you know is an alumni of 90 Minute Cynic. Great to see you, Keith.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you very much for having me on. I've been a long-time listener to Celtic Underground, so I'm absolutely delighted to get a call-up for the B-Squad before the B-Squad goes defunct to get a wee shot.
And I think many of you know this name, even if you... Well, we've had Stephen Ryan on the Name of the Game podcast, but more than that, he's become something like our kind of fifth Beatle in the CU roster because he's done a couple of cracking articles for us this year. And he's also maybe our most regular and forceful presence.
Troublemaker.
Celtic Underground chat. So welcome, Stephen. Great
Good
to
evening.
Have you.
Long time listener, first time caller, as Jimmy Sanderson used to say, you know. So
yeah.
For those of us old enough to remember him, Keith probably isn't.
I don't know who you're talking about. Paul Cooney, that's who I remember back in the day.
Cooney. Well, we Jimmy, sorry, you've done this, Stephen, so now that... That's bunkum. Are you accusing me of mendacity? Remember, he used to say that all the time. And the guy, I always remember, he said this to one kind of Jimmy Fee Barhead. Are you accusing me of mendacity? And Jimmy Fee Barhead says, I don't even know what mendacity means. So, oh God, you've set me off on a train there. You've set me off on a train, Stephen. Like, maybe it's good to have be able to kind of trek back to... I mean, they won the better days, but somehow, when the present's no great...
Different days, always, I suppose.
You always lean back into your history. And I always say to my wife, I think, she said, you're one of the most nostalgic people I know. I said, you know why? Because see, when you're thinking back to the good old days, which weren't that good old days, but you know they were good enough because you got through them. When things aren't good in the present, you wonder, do I get through this? You know, whether it's losing my job, yeah, or whatever, you know, bereavement or whatever. But you know, when that's happened in the past, you got through it.
Yeah, I can't really say much. I got into Celtic Tommy Burns era, so it was just as things were starting to get good. So I missed out the coming like fourth in the league behind Motherwell and things like that. So vaguely remember my dad cursing the television on a Saturday afternoon when the scores were being read out. But I missed all that, and I got my first season ticket when Dr. Joe was the manager. So that was, I missed all the bad times. I've really had it pretty good for the past 30 odd years, so I'm all right.
Nothing to complain about, Keith.
Although watching this Celtic, we're entitled to complaining. I'll let you take it up, Stephen. Did you see the game down there?
Yeah. So we've a club here in Cardiff. We've just relocated. It was good crowd in yesterday actually for a game, and it was just one of those. You know, it was just, you knew what was going to happen. We all kind of seen it coming, and even at 2-0, you think, oh, we've got two. The other week, the Dundee game, it was only 1-0. We're going to concede, and then we gave away the penalty. But, you know, yesterday at 2-0, you think you're kind of safe. Then they got the goal back, and you think, okay, we can just see this out. And of course, you know, we know what happened. But it's when we were talking afterwards, you don't know, was it better we could have hung on and won 2-1, just, you know, had that usual scrappy, just got over the line. And then, but the way we did win in the end, you know, there was more jumping up and doing in the pub. One of the girls had brought a dog in. The dog went mental when the fourth and fifth goal, the poor dog was all over the place. But it was like watching Celtic previously, where we scored goals, we jumped up and down, we celebrated, and we kind of showed what we could do. And it was a wee 10-minute cameo of the whole season, I think, because that's what we're capable of. You know, you've got those moments. You know, Harry's favourite player, Negrin, you know, chucks one in, you know, as he does. Iheanacho is fit for 10 minutes and scores 2 goals. Like, it was just, you know, James Forrest. It was all the good and the bad was in that sort of injury time to the first half of, you know, and it was just, yeah. But that's what watching Celtic, it's probably the game I've enjoyed the most in the last good while, to be honest.
My cousin Claire said to us afterwards, she says, that's the best shite game we've had in ages.
Yeah, exactly that. I think that was, yeah, that's what Harry's pod was, something like that, wasn't it? Yeah. But yeah.
I told him that, so.
That's kind of what it was. Because we should have been out of sight, but they're not a bad side either. You know, it's a funny one. They've taken a lot of points off of Hearts this season. They've given us hard games. You wonder how they're in the bottom six.
Yeah.
You know. But
although, maybe the 4 minutes 50, and I don't think, I've been trying to check it with a few historians before I come on, but I couldn't quite get any definitive answers. But I don't think Celtic have ever scored 4 goals in
that
space of
4 minutes 50. Yeah.
4 minutes 50. I watched it today and timed it exactly from the moment the ball hits the net for Iheanacho's header to the moment Negrin's hits the net. 4 minutes 50, and you think that's 3 restarts as well. That's 3 kickoffs.
It was like watching us in Europe against Paris or Barcelona or something. You know, the way the ball just kept getting reset. It was like, oh no. But yeah, for once it was, we were on the right side of it.
Keith, were you in and around or whatever? Were you there?
So
where were you?
I managed to get tickets for the South Stand, Matt Mulderson, and I went to the game. And we were talking on the bus on the way down. And I said, this is the first time that I've not properly felt confident going to Hampden, ever. Not been to Hampden hundreds of times, I've been quite a few times, but this was the first time that I didn't feel totally confident that Celtic were, one, going to put on a show, and two, that we were going to win. It was a strange feeling. And even during the game, when we went 2-0 up, I said to him, I don't feel comfortable, because we've seen this too many times this season, where we maybe come out strong, get a goal, a head start, which we haven't been doing recently, but it kind of set the nerves a little bit, but not enough for you to think, that's it, we're over the hump, this is home and dry. Even when we were getting the last 5 minutes to go, I was watching the clock every couple of minutes as about the 76th minute onwards, and I just sensed that something was going to happen. Either we were going to score another goal just to settle it, take us through, or they were going to score, and unfortunately they were going to score. The worst of it is, up until the fifth Celtic goal, my son had predicted 4-3-1 for Celtic, and he was right all the way through. So he was hoping for something a wee bit exciting for that, but it was just a weird, weird game. We seemed to start so well. I felt we were a wee bit more physical when we started. We were getting really, really close to them, giving them wee shoves and
better press.
Exactly, better press, exactly. But that faded away. And teams like St Mirren, as you said, Stephen, they know how to play against us. It's kind of like the soap or rope. They just take the punishment, and then they know the final 20 minutes, this Celtic team does not have the legs. We're going to have to substitute some of our most important and valuable players, like Callum McGregor having to come off, Kieran Tierney having to come off, and they know that they'll get chances, because this team just isn't quite at the standards that of previous years, and when we're being a wee bit more nostalgic, that we kind of harken back to.
But that's only maybe 2 years ago. Like, if you think of it, I think Angie's team was all set up that you made the subs after 60, 70 minutes, and the players that came on were as good as the players. We were talking yesterday, Matt O'Reilly wasn't starting every game. Mm-hmm. Had O'Reilly coming on for
Aaron Moy,
you know, O'Reilly was coming on for him. You had Jack and Marcus coming on for Kyogo. So there was no reduction in the quality on the pitch. And actually, if you were the team playing against us, you were probably thinking, oh, shit, look who's coming. You know, We were bringing on fresh, really good players, whereas now you're bringing on players, you know, Forrest is, you know, much maligned. The guy that runs our club, can he stand James Forrest? He's just...
He really doesn't like him.
And everybody else in the club, when Forrest does something good, the whole club goes mental just to annoy Terry. Like, it's just to wind him up. But he made a difference. Do you know, he did. And, you know, it was quite a simple... We seem to be making the game very complicated this year, and it's not. It's quite a simple game. And that's what Anil done the first time round. And I don't know if he's maybe been here too long the second time. He wasn't... Like, I'm loathe to be critical of Martin O'Neill because I love him to death. Still my favourite Celtic manager. You know, that's the time I was probably travelling all over, you know, going to games in Europe that I'd never done before, you know, going to finals. That was all down to him. But, you know, you think about it, it's 20 years since he managed Celtic. That's like Billy McNeil coming back in 2011. You know, that's like Billy McNeil coming back after... After, you know, it's a long time ago. Football's changed, the game's changed, and Martin, bless him, probably hasn't. And he dismisses a lot of things, like, you know, like things that people talk about now, pressing and pack scores and stuff. You listen to the huddle guys, you know, I don't understand all of it, but most of it's quite simple. Same kind of stuff Brian Clough was instilling. You know, you work players. Dean had us doing it in the 60s. You just tie your team. If you look at how we played against Inter Milan, we ran them into the ground. Nobody was counting the XG that day, but we knew that we battered them 2-1. It's not really changed. It's
just maybe, 42 shots on target. Yeah. It's still a record in a Champions League fight. Yeah. Stroke European Cup fight.
It's maybe just the way we talk about games and how we analyse it. But, you know, I'm a numbers geek. So, like, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a footballer. I couldn't because I wasn't very good. But now, even if you're not good at football, you can be an analyst. You can be all, you know, there's all these other things that are added to it. And actually, lots of clubs are using it. And I think we're not, you know, but that's today's argument.
But what is a pack score?
I don't know.
I'm only giving you 5 seconds to explain.
I think there is something to do with how quickly you get the ball back. There's something, you know, so when you lose the ball, how long you have. The guys were talking about on the Cynic last week, when we played at the weekend, at the game last week, and how long we take to get the ball back and how many passes the other team get. Something to do with that, I think. But
Keith,
I'm like David Mundell, I don't know much.
I don't know that one myself, though.
Christian
knows all that stuff.
He's terrific, that. He's educated many of us in the more tactical, analytical side of the game. But
no, I'd educate you enough if you don't know what a pack score is.
I've not been doing my homework.
You never expected to come onto the oldies and talk about back scores, eh? We're fresh on things, really, you know?
I shouldn't have brought it up.
Times. Unlike Martin O'Neill, we're moving the times. I mean, I know, like, I don't know what you thought, Keith, but I know, because Stephen put a comment on, and I was putting the same comment on in my friends' chat groups. When Martin O'Neill said last week it was too late to change anything, my heart sank. I don't know how you felt about when you read those comments from Friday.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's too late to change anything. What really can he change?
Yeah.
Because the players seem to have been ran into the ground this season. We're seeing players coming on. We're having to manage minutes for people like Callum McGregor, even Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain coming on. We've had to build him up to get his game time. Now we're using him as a make-way for Callum McGregor coming on. The team just seemed absolutely devoid of ideas, but also there is no real plan B. We've tried all the plan B's, C, D's, and the players just aren't up to scratch. So? I don't think there's another
4-2 or a 3-5.
Never again 2-1. 3 at the back. But in 3 at the back used to work. 3 at the back works if you've not got Trusty in the middle and 2 fullbacks either side of them.
Yeah, well, you know, that's no. I'm not talking about that 3 at the back.
You know, it can work. You know, O'Neill's 3 at the back actually did work until McLeish broke it, really, didn't he?
He figured it out.
And then in fairness,
Lovenkranz broke it.
O'Neill changed that, and then we battered them constantly after. I think we went, a whole season, we had 5, you know, green and white wash season, 2004.
Yep, 7 straight
they
wins.
They didn't touch us. So, you know, but
still lost the league, mind you. But there you go.
I think we can still change personnel, maybe. Keep, you know, like I thought you talked about it being more aggressive yesterday for the start. I think a lot of that was because Negrin started, and he just brings a bit more energy into the middle of the pitch. He's a bit bigger. He puts himself about a bit.
You mean Engels?
Yeah, Engels. No, Negrin.
I've
got Negrin written down just because I wanted to annoy Harry. Yeah, but Engels did put himself about. He always seems to pick up a daft booking for a foul that actually, when it's against him, is never a booking. But he always gets one and it kind of nullifies. But I thought he does. He's got a wee bit of something in him. There's a wee bit of fight there. A lot of people don't like him because he doesn't cost. Or he costs too much and he doesn't score 40 goals a year when he costs all that money. That's what you're paying for. Forest Brew, you get your money back on him because he's a quality footballer. You know, and we saw that, I think. If we get him in the team in the next five games, that's a starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The energy.
And whether or not you can get Johnston, Alistair Johnston, Keith.
Yeah.
They're going to see him, apparently 20 minutes in a bounce game last week. I don't know how that was confirmed or not. But you could really, if you could build him in the next couple of weeks and just take the risk if you win these next two games and play him against, start him against Rangers. Although, Ralston, again, we expect, Ralston hasn't played in the best part of 6 months and people expect him to come in and be kind of match fit. He's, he had a better game last, he didn't look quite as kind of stiff and quite as kind of...
He was excellent yesterday. I thought other than, it was between him and Maeda for man of the match yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Those of us sitting together in the pub yesterday, that was the kind of view. Yeah. Ida was more like his own self. He's, you know, the player that we knew he can be. You know, that sort of busy, causing hassle. Genuinely, you know, he looked more up for it again. And I think the goal helped, even though it was a spawny one, but it comes from him working hard. So you can see, when you do something like that and you get a reward for it, you can see the lift that gave him, because he's had the weight of his, the world on his shoulders for the last few months, it seems like, you know. And but I thought Ralston, he'd one pass in the second half, I think, to Tenekte. Tenekte missed it, but it was a, you know, it's one of those passes.
Yeah,
you're watching the Spanish football and somebody does that, you're, you know, you're applauding and, you know. But,
that's the thing with Ralston, though. He has a set amount of skills.
Yeah.
He can hit a nice backspin in the line. That's where him and Yang work.
Yeah.
If he had Tenekte over that side for the ball, whereas you've got Yang ahead of him, you've got Maeda over the other side. I thought Kieran Tierney struggled to get that ball down the line past Gogic for Maeda to really make a challenge off it. And you always had Tenekte coming short. So we're a wee bit off kilter whenever it comes to that. It looked as if we were trying to stretch that the game a little bit more with getting it wide and getting it down the line for players to run on to make it stretch the game that way. Maeda, I thought, was terrific up front, and that was the best he's probably played for us for a wee while up there. But it was players like Ralston, as you said, a contender for the man of the match. And if we can get a couple of other players that are just going to rise at certain times and
it's whether or not
get important goals, then that's what's
where are they in
through.
The trajectory. I mean, that's what, if you get Engels and if you got Johnson back, if you, I think Kieran Tierney just looks as if he's running on fumes now. I mean, he's 50 appearances this season. Who ever thought Kieran Tierney would make between?
He's had good numbers as well. You know, he's a good contribution in terms of, you know, a couple of goals. He's a good few assists. Mm-hmm. He's just not the Kieran Tierney that left. He's not the guy, the young kid, the energy. He's not got that energy, but he's got the game intelligence. He has that. You know, he's played. I coached a football team down here. Load of the boys, big Arsenal fans, they all loved Tierney. You know, they just, because he kind of wore his heart on his sleeve, you know, he was very popular player amongst their support. And I just think he's one of those, like, we kind of wore it as a badge of honour, how many games he played and how many games McGregor played. That's not a positive. Actually, you should be resting players instead of running them into the ground. That's why McGregor's blown out his backside now. Do you know?
I know. Although, I have to say, when he went off, and that's where Celtic just lost the midfield. You think, all these people saying, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't play McGregor, and I've probably been among them. Like, you actually saw the cohesion, whatever cohesion Celtic have, and it's no much, but even that limited cohesion really did just kind of evaporate. Don't know if you thought that, Keith, yourself, or that.
For me, I'm a massive Callum McGregor fan. That have been his whole career with Celtic. I feel that whenever he has dips in form, like he did in the season that we don't mention, and in this season at times, it's as if he's trying to do too much himself. There's other people that are lacking that he's covering for. Their first goal yesterday, he was dragged out of position because Yang, I'm pretty sure it was Yang, lost the ball. Some of our passing yesterday was ridiculous. The fact that they couldn't make 5-6 yard passes accurately to players, everything was always behind our guys. It wasn't in front where we were moving forward with purpose. And Harry mentioned it on his podcast yesterday. It was all safe passes. But when we were trying to make the break forward, the passing just wasn't crisp enough, it wasn't accurate enough, and it wasn't brave enough as well. But Callum McGregor is dragged out of position because Yang's over the other side of the park, and they get down the byline and manage to cross it in. I feel as if whenever Callum McGregor has a dip, and I'm quite biased here, but it feels as if he's trying to do too much. Maybe he's trying to cover the defence a wee bit too much, which takes away from getting the ball further up the park or winning it higher up the park. It kind of brings, invites pressure on to us. Or it just seems to try too much. And to his detriment, he just plays too much football where he is getting...
Especially when he's nursing it. He's clearly nursing something here.
I think that's where you've got to... See, I'm not quite on the same page as you, Keith. And again, I'm very fond of McGregor. I love McGregor. I remember coming into the team under Ronnie Dyla, you know, and, you know, he has been awesome for us. But I think my worry now is he's at the stage, and we saw it with, you know, Lennon and Lambert. You saw it with Scott Brown. Some teams, we play players too long and they don't get a rest. And actually, McGregor does try to do too much. He wants to run everything. It's like he's like the kid that in the school team that I've got to take the corners, the free kick. He's got to do everything. But he does it for the right reasons. But I think sometimes maybe somebody needs to say, right, you know, Auchinleck Talbot, why is he playing in that game? He doesn't need to play in that game, for instance. You know, he needs to have a rest. And he needs to manage that himself and understand his body and let himself doubt or let himself get a rest and recuperate and maybe. But I think sometimes, and you talk about the defence, I think there's a little element of maybe he doesn't trust the other people to do it as well. You know, you get, you know, so that's why he wants the ball, because if it gets back to them, they're not going to pass it right. So just get to me and I'll do it. There's a little bit of that. And there's that trust thing in the team. I think there's a real fragility around the whole team at the moment, because Rodgers told them they were all shit. Then Martin came in and told them they weren't shit, and that was okay. Then Nancy came in and made them all look shit. And then since they come back, he's kind of not quite, you know, Martin's been okay, but he's trying to do this again.
He's not that same recuperative kind of effect that he had the first time around.
There was a wee bounce, but not the same, like...
They were more battered and bruised second time around. They were kind of bruised when you come in.
Yeah.
For his first spell, but they were then battered and bruised by the time he come back.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I do think there's a mental baggage that, as much as we know it's poorest squad, poorest attacking options we've seen in 30 years, we know all those things. But I still actually think there's a better team from that squad that we're seeing. Are there better performances? These players are capable of better performances. If nothing else, as you said, Stephen, we never answered your question, but we should. Was it better than hanging on for a 2-1? Indubitably.
Yeah.
Because it reminded them, by the way, guys, when you get in top of teams...
You're good.
They were good. They were good quality goals. Even the...
Great goal.
The second goal in the sense Yang with the little...
Back heel, back heel. Super goal. That's a great... You know, that's a great... That's proper Celtic goal, isn't it? It's like football. Tenekte was involved in that. We kind of forget because he wasn't... Didn't seem to be in the game much, but that was a lovely pass across from him. It was good football. It was like Celtic football, the way we play. Wasn't he humped up and scrappy? And, you know, it was a nice move.
Yeah.
That's what we're capable of. There's definitely a psychology thing. You know, O'Neill said something. He said before we played Dundee United, if we lose today, it's not the end of the season. And then we lost. And then he said last week, we're not good enough to start talking about the final yet. And then we're 2-0 up and we're 2 each in the end. I think you're almost giving players excuses and you're putting that in their head. And it's like, I love to read about Bodo and Bruges and all that. And I know people get fed up hearing about them and people sicking them. But Bodo have a thing where they don't talk about winning and losing. So it's all about development and you play your best game. And if you do that, whatever happens, happens. And they've got like a former fighter pilot as their, he's like a mentality coach or something. And he takes the players aside and he talks to them about. And there was one of the squad who's in their 30s now. I can't remember the boy's name. Then he's 30s now, was going to chuck football about 7 or 8 years ago. Wasn't into it, wasn't enjoying it. He used to be sick before every game. And this guy sat him down and he was like, what are you worrying about? He said, well, if I don't play well, he said, if you don't play well, you still get paid. You're still a professional footballer. What's the worst that can happen? He said, you'd lose a game. But he got into the guy's head and this guy's now playing in the Champions League, scoring, assisting, playing at a really high level. And I think some of our players, and O'Neill done a really good job of that when he came in the first time. He kind of repaired the psychological damage that Rodgers had done.
Yeah, you especially saw that with Engels.
Absolutely, yeah, because Engels wasn't getting a game. He wasn't getting on. He wasn't getting a start. Yeah. He was like,
he did it with Yang.
You know, Yang was treated like crap as well. You know, he was down in Birmingham. He apparently had picked 40 taken with a Birmingham shirt on and everything. Rodgers was. I don't think he was. Rodgers isn't a people coach. Although he kind of pretends to be with the whole David Brent shtick and you see all that. But Rodgers is all about himself. But he's an elite coach. Some people say we wouldn't get a better coach. I don't know if that's true. I think we can. I just don't think we look hard enough.
Or at all.
Or at all, yeah, you know. We make lazy options, don't we?
I'm just off a podcast with Graham Spears and he says, oh, do you think there's a possibility of Neil Lennon in a third spell?
No.
I said, no, not another Irish, Northern Irish manager in a third spell. I said, no, with the greatest will in the world, and I love Neil Lennon and all that, but time to freshen it up, guys. You can't keep going back to Wales. You can't keep going over old
I'm
ground.
At the healing stage with Lenny now. I've kind of forgiven him for the COVID season. A lot of things went on. It wasn't entirely his fault.
It wasn't he?
And, you know, and he did give us some fantastic results, memories, all the rest. So you got to park that. You can't hold everything. You know, you look back, can you imagine what Billy McNeil would have been getting in 1989 and we had Twitter and social media?
I saw it.
You know what I mean? He would have been getting, you know.
You're right.
The same crap that we are throwing at people now, like. You know, I can be critical player. I think we sometimes forget, ultimately, they're all probably trying their best. They don't want to fuck up.
Exactly.
They don't want to play badly. There's other stuff going on, isn't there? And like, all the noise around the club at the moment, I think, doesn't help anybody. You know,
we've had
all seasons.
It's astonishing. There's plenty of times in the last few, I don't know about you, Keith, but there's plenty of times let's say at Christmas, I never thought that Celtic would still be in the title with 5 games to go and in a Scottish Cup final. I just didn't. I'm not saying it makes it a great season, but they've actually exceeded the really low expectations that were really kind of getting baked in by what we were watching. Do you think they've got a chance that they could win this league still?
I'm a bit of a romantic that since I saw that rainbow inside Celtic Park the other week, which I managed to get some fantastic photos of, I feel there's something special, something magical is going to happen this year. That happened on Sunday when we blew a 2-goal lead, but then came back and scored, 4 goals in 4 minutes, 50 seconds, as you said. That adds to the fairy tale of this club. And if we are to manage to get a double by the end of this season, after all the turmoil that we went through, after the poor performances and the breaking of the state of this squad, and there's no getting away from this, there's a massive overhaul needed, then to get a double and to get back to Hampden at the end of this season, giving us a chance to get some silverware after the depths that we've been, then that is nothing short of a miracle. And really, I think everybody's going to have to give Michael Nicholson, and I'm only kidding. No, can't even bring myself to say that.
Where Where's the off button here?
It really, it's testament to Martin O'Neill's management skills if we are able to eke anything out of this season, because it's just, we're not used to this. We're not used to not seeing proper patterns of play in the Celtic squad. Yeah. No real identity to this squad. And we don't have match winners. And that's something that we've had over the past, 20, 30 years. There's always been one player that we can hang our hat on saying, he might not do anything in the game, but out of nowhere, he's going to turn the tide for us and give us that memorable moment. See that in this squad just now? It's turning out. It might be Iheanacho, which I'm absolutely gobsmacked to say that it could be him, because there's just a real serious lack there. But if we are to do it, it's the togetherness of the team and the leadership of Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney, Callum McGregor, Kieran Tierney and James Forrest that's helping drag this side through.
This carcass of a team.
It's wild. Of a team. We've got 5 more games to go. There's 1, 2 full weeks of training, and then we've got the Rangers game on the 10th of May, the 13th of May we've got away to Motherwell, and then finally the 16th of May is the game against Hearts. Then we've got another week before we play Dunfermline in the cup final. The next 2 weeks, I think, with the input that Sean Maloney and Fotheringham are going to get, and Big Mick's going to get in the training ground, if we can somehow manage to find something that's winnable from this team, then these guys should be absolutely lauded for what they do. And I'm not saying that they should get a job at the end of it. There should be nobody allowed anywhere near the changing rooms, the shower room at the end of all this. But for coming in a temporary position and be able to help us get through to the end of this season, then these guys have done a remarkable job just to get us this close with so few games left to go.
Stephen, do you think, I don't think it will happen, but it's not that I don't think it could happen. I just don't think it will happen.
We've got to win there's 5 games, 1-0. I think we're more than capable of that. And all you can do is one at a time.
Yeah.
And it's like you deal with the next one and then you worry about the one after. You don't think any more than one game ahead. And that's...
Yeah. We used to...
And you look at those games and think, well, actually, are we capable of winning them?
I know.
I think we are.
Right.
You know, on a one-off basis, have you given us each of those 5 games and said, right, that's the cup final this season, that's who you're playing in the cup final, can you win it? Rangers haven't beaten us under Martin O'Neill. Hearts haven't beaten us under Martin O'Neill. You know, Motherwell haven't beaten us under Martin O'Neill. Falkirk haven't beaten us under Martin O'Neill.
Keep talking.
Hibs beat us, the bastards. They're the one that messed up. And actually, but even when you look at that, the Hibs loss, Trusty gets sent off. For, you know, I saw the same thing happen in the Man City game yesterday. You know, players are taking their jerseys off. Arsenal defenders are killing, you know. And, you know, that was a harsh sending off. And then we don't get the penalty when the guy takes the jersey off of Scales 2 seconds later. So if the refs do their job right in that game, Scales, we get a penalty, we go 2-1 up, and we're not chasing the game at the end. Look, every club will have a different thing. And I don't think you can pin this season on refereeing decisions. We've had a few went for us, a few against. Ultimately, most of the damage that we've done has been to ourselves. But I still think we're in it, and I still think we've got... I was up in Glasgow for the League Cup semi-final and watched the game with a pal. Before then, I wanted Martin O'Neill back, but only for a couple of games. That day, I was like, keep him for the whole season, because we all get caught in the euphoria of it. We went to the pub on the way home, and there was 2 Rangers fans, 2 older Rangers fans, in the pub, and my mate was like, don't talk to them, don't talk to them. And I'm like, all right, boys, how was your day? And they were okay. One guy turned out to be, you know, he went off talking about boats and immigrants, and then we realised, yeah, he was what my dad would call a right hun. But the footballing discussion we had, the 2 of them were like, yous are going to win the treble now. That's it. You know, you've got it in the bag. And that was November. Back then, you know, they were dead and buried then. They thought they were out of it. They didn't have a chance. They've had a run of games. I don't think they're a particularly good football side. They're not a great side.
None of the 3 sides.
Hearts aren't a great side. You know, it's not like... If Motherwell had been running away with the league this year, I actually went, you know what? they're playing good football, happy days. That's what you want. You want a team that plays like that to go and win it. You know, they've stumbled. As soon as their manager started going on open goal, winning awards and getting touted for the Celtic job, they've went to pot. Like, they've not won a game since, I think. We need them to turn up this weekend.
Six without a win or something, isn't
yeah.
it? But the one thing, I don't know, Keith, the one thing I would say, and you can't deny it, the way these fixtures have fallen, it gives Celtic a good chance. Look, none of them are easy, but the home game that's the least arduous is first, Falkirk. Because you're no way you can say that.
We run Scottish football, though. That's why we pick the fixtures.
And then your next one is your least arduous away game.
Yeah.
Because you'd rather go Easter Road than Fir Park.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, definitely.
If you had a game to win, yeah. And somebody said, pick one of these two grounds. So this gives you a chance to build up a bit of momentum. And the worst you could be, because something's got to give when Rangers are playing Hearts. If you just win these two
games. Win the two games, put the pressure on them. See where you That's
are.
It.
Yeah.
See where you are.
I think we need to lean into the more defensive aspects of our game. When we've been back against the wall, we've proven that we can actually defend quite resolutely. When you're talking about Rangers and Hearts not being great teams, one thing that they have been doing recently is scoring goals. That's a worry to me, because we have struggled to do that. We get six goals, but we had to take it to extra time to get four of them, and that was just as a team had just absolutely collapsed. I don't see Celtic having many games where we're going to score more than two goals in them. Hopefully I'm very, very wrong, and I hope it starts on Saturday on my birthday, and Willie Mealy's birthday as well.
There we go.
Wow.
So I'm hoping it starts on Saturday, but I think we might need to lean into just being resolute, and that goes against everything us, the Celtic fans, football team. There's nothing that wants us to sit back and soak up a bit of pressure and then hit a team in the break with Maeda or Yang or Tanetki getting the ball high up, dribbling past somebody and hopefully scoring a goal. That goes against everything. But if you're talking about a change of formation or things like that, I think it is a bit too late for that. But I think we can just make sure that we are absolutely sound at the back. One thing we can't do is have the goalkeeper taking four or five touches a yard for his goal line again, like Sinisalo was doing on Sunday.
We were in line with him, and my sister said, she said, we saved him there, because it was like,
My son was the exact same, the whole crowd, and I think we were sitting close to yourself then. We could just see him creeping up behind him, getting closer and closer, and it was the full Celtic end just roared at once, man on, and you could see him get that wee fright and manage to clear it away, thankfully.
It was quite funny in its own way, but there's been a lot of kind of like darkly kind of comic moments this season in a way. But what would you do, Stephen? Like, if you were in Anil's shoes, and how would you play it? Is this the template being set? If this is what he's going to do, he's going to start with Maeda through the middle. He's going to start with Tanetki and Yang on the flanks, and then he'll switch. The cavalry will be Iheanacho going up front, Maeda going left, and then Forrest coming on for...
Is
this what he's going to do now?
I don't know. Can you start Iheanacho and Forrest? Because I don't know if they've both got 90 minutes in them. So you start them, and you try and win the game, and then you bring on players to hold on. Or you try and win the game, and then you bring them on to get there. You know, I was looking, if we win 6-0 on Saturday, we go top of the league. Hearts and Rangers don't play Sunday, right? So I'm very optimistic. I'm now at the glass half full stage of the season.
I'm liking this. I didn't expect this.
And it's only water. It's not anything stronger. But I think Keith did say it there. There is something about one of my earliest memories is, like, I remember going as a kid and winning games and winning titles and going with my dad. 10 men won the league. I don't really remember 10 men won the league. I remember the song more than the 10 men winning the league, because all I knew was one of our neighbours was a Rangers fan and we were singing it into his bathroom window after it. But that's the only reason I know. I never saw the game. I couldn't tell you much about it. I was 7 or 8.
It was the strike.
So it wasn't on TV, and they lost the footage, obviously. But, you know, 88, the double, scoring all those goals at the death, you know, Billy McNeil passes away, Simunovic scores on the 67. There is something about And it was funny, I was watching the Billy McNeil thing today because the Bernard Ponsonby clip was going round. You might have heard it about, he was talking at some supporters event. And then people were talking about the eulogy he'd done at Billy's funeral and stuff like that. So I was watching some of that again today. And we were in Bilbao when Billy McNeil died. And we went to the stadium on the way back. And they had a big thing up, like a One Club Man tribute. Yeah, but it wasn't just for Billy McNeil. It was for loads of One Club players.
They do that. Yeah,
Billy McNeil was there. So we went, you know, so literally the week that Billy died, we were in Atletico Bilbao Stadium looking at this big tribute to Billy McNeil. It's all of those things that tie in together. Yeah. So I think maybe we're going to scab it. I don't know. I think we're due a bit of luck. We haven't really had much luck this season. We've had some in Europe with, like, spawny goals. Actually, that goal Maeda scored on Sunday was probably the first time domestically we've had a bounce like that that's went for us. Yeah. You know, so maybe that's it. I'm thinking maybe that's it turning. You know, Falkirk will come on Saturday and they'll probably try and play football. They've not got a lot of pressure on them. They've lost a cup game, so they're not preparing for the cup. You don't know how that'll affect them. They got back to Rangers in the last game. McGlynn tries to play football. They will play football and that should hopefully help us. I don't think they'll come and sit in and
hang on. They're not physical.
They're not, no. They're a nice football team.
Yeah, because... And they're also the only team in the top six that haven't beaten Celtic this season.
Yeah, well, that's the only worry. Yeah. Or they haven't beaten Rangers either, so you know that.
Do you know, make me feel old, but see, 10 men, tonight 10 men won the league. My dad had just had a triple bypass, which was an 11-hour operation those days. You know, they sawed you.
Aye.
They sawed you open. It wasn't like keyhole surgery, and they sawed you open and yanked open your ribcage. So he was on all these, he'd on all these monitors, and my mum said, you have to come in and see your dad. Obviously, she wasn't going to leave me as 11-year-old in the house anyway. So I said, I've got to take, I had my wee transistor radio. I said, I've got to try and find out what's happened in the Celtic game. But people won't believe you, but you know, there wasn't any coverage of it.
No.
So I just had to wait for the Radio Clyde news at 8 o'clock, half eight. And I think it was 7:30 to 8:30 was the visiting time. So, and they said, you can't have any of this radio equipment when you're dead.
Yeah, because it, yeah.
So, but he said, snuggle in with me, son, and just listen at your radio to kind of see it. But as I was snuggling in, I flicked his chest monitors, right? So it went, dee, as if he was flatlining. The crash team come in, you know, they're running in, and it was like, you know, as if my dad was parked it, you know, okay. But it was just because I'd unconsciously, because he was trying to lean into him,
that's like, a good,
to try and listen to the radio, which was wasn't good, even telling you the score.
That was a good metaphor for the Celtic, for the result at half-time.
Yeah.
Do you know, when we got home, we still didn't know the result. You know, it's amazing. This is before teletext and all this even, because that changed, CFAX changed your life, because you used to be able to follow games. That's what really made a big difference, CFAX and teletext. So my mum phoned up the Daily Record and she said, I know I shouldn't do this. And she said, but you have to tell me. Because we were waiting for the end of the 10 o'clock news on STV before late call, you know, before that was when they told you the score. She says, I'm not waiting that long. She phoned him up. She says, I'm a Celtic supporter. And the guy said, so am I. We did it. That's what I'll remember. And you know what? The next day, it was 10 men won the league was the...
Yeah.
Banner across the Daily Record. I said to my mum, because my dad was still in the office, I said, can I cut this out? So I cut it out, got a bit of sellotape because it ran across two different pages. We, at like break time, like somebody else held the other bit. You're holding up a newspaper headline and walking across 10 men won the league, tra la 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 la, you know? And I put it in my headboard. Put it in my headboard as soon as I got home.
Only thing
that stayed up there.
The only time I had an issue like that was the 5-1 game where Lubo scored the double. I think that was the last Saturday at 3 o'clock Celtic Rangers game that wasn't televised. And then my auntie had taken myself and my little sister into Glasgow to get Christmas shopping. I think it's like 25th of November it was, getting Christmas presents early. And I took my wee wireless radio with us and the batteries ran out. So I only got to hear 15 minutes of it. And every shop I went into Osiris, actually. My wee sister was looking at stuff, and they had the mood rings, and you could make a wish. So I got a green one and a wish for a Celtic score. It was like a big. I tried to go back and find that ring, but I could not find it anyway. But that was the, and it wasn't, as you said, till we got home. We got the bus back to Hamilton, then up to Mantysburg, and then on teletext to see the score. And I'm like, this is broken. There's something up here that's saying 5-1. And my uncle floated in after the game. Unreal.
Tell you, it'll be as if I've got a magic carpet if they manage to do this double. I'll tell you, man. Like, you'll not be able to get me done for the ceiling. I'll be like, what was it? Who was the one in Willy Wonka when she drinks the lemonade? Wasn't it Veruca Salt? No, who was it? Is it Mike TV? No, wasn't it Mike TV? Oh, God. I can't even. My cultural references have deserted me.
I was thinking more Mary Poppins, the guy that laughs and goes up to the ceiling.
That's right.
Well, the worst thing is, we are still in it, aren't we? So it's in, I like the fact that it's in our hands. And it's all about, and actually, this stage of the season, we do have players that have gone through it. You know, we've got a manager that's gone through it. Admittedly, when he went through the tight ones, it didn't actually end up that well.
He lost the tight ones.
You know, there's no point not mentioning it. It's just a fact. But the ones that actually this is his chance to remedy those. Do you know? And then that puts a kind of bookend on it. That's what I thought. We'd end up going to Fir Park on the last day of the season and we'd win it at Fir Park. And that was what I could see. Craig Bellamy in the stand, John Sutton, you know, Sutton Hearts and all lined up around the side. That was I expected them to do that and have the fucking helicopters going and all the rest just to need the light.
Hey, by the way, they could still win
it. But we could win it at Fir Park. It's not beyond
results.
Rangers and Hearts aren't both getting 3 points from that game. So, you know, ultimately we win the next two games and then it's in our hands.
Hibs will be trying like bears against, that's a hard one for them first off.
Yeah.
Playing Hibs.
Absolutely. I've watched their games against Hibs this year and actually Hibs should have beat them.
They should have.
Most of the games, you know, Hibs were kind of unlucky. I watched Hibs in their European games this year. The Hibs are a decent side when they're on form. They're just a kind of flaky side this season. You know, there's not much between them and Hearts in terms of ability, but Hearts are getting the results and they've got a couple of game changes like Braga. Shankland has been awesome this year. He was terrible last year. Do you know, if you look at it, he couldn't buy a goal last year. You know, that happens sometimes. You know, look, you don't want to hex it, but we just win this next game and then we'll worry about the one after after this weekend.
Well, I'm going to do a Harry Brady type final flourish because what he does is, and I'm happily, I'll go for it myself as well, but I'm going to start with you, Keith. So what's your score prediction for Saturday at 5:30, which is an odd one again, isn't it?
I've just noticed that I didn't realise it was so late for that one. I think, as Stephen said, just winning the next couple of games, putting the pressure on Hearts and Rangers for the Sunday, for them to have a whole 24 hours before they get a chance to do anything. Hopefully that'll fester in their minds there. And I think 2-0 Celtic on Saturday would really, really start to turn the screw on both of those clubs.
Thanks, Keith. Stephen?
Okay, right. I said 6-0 to go top, right? We're not going top. I'd be very... I think 3-0, maybe 4-0. And then I think Hibs will turn Hearts over and that might work to our advantage. But, you know, I think if we go level on points, even if we go level on points with Hearts, before they play Hibs, before Rangers kick off against Motherwell, we're level with Hearts, we're ahead of Rangers. So it puts them, they go out and have to do it. So they're chasing the game for one. So it's really important we win. If we win one with a goal like Maeda scored in the first minute, happy days. It doesn't matter. I'd like to see us.
I know.
Maybe
I know.
Win
I'd
more
like
than
to
one.
See you carrying on for that first half of the extra time, and I'm thinking there might be an element of that. I'm going for 3-1. I think they will. Maybe I've kidded myself on because sometimes it's muscle memory, the way that Celtic teams used to do things, and you think this Celtic team isn't like Celtic teams that used to do things. It's actually, you know, I was at most of the games in the COVID season. I have to say, by and large, the performances were at a standard above.
Yeah, this season,
it's just they come up against a juggernaut, call it what you will. Rangers won 54% of their games, they won by a single goal. They got one ahead and just shut up shop.
That's with that really good testing they were getting done in Belfast, like, you know, the old COVID testing.
Really good testing. It's working contractually obliged by Harry Brady to mention that, the testing centre in Belfast.
Yeah, I think so, yeah, that season.
Yous can come back, man, like, if you can remain this upbeat. And if he's a right...
I don't think we even swore too much either, did we?
No, I was expecting more. Especially swearing at me, Stephen, but you just save that for the
chat. I just save that for the chat. That's when Ryan upsets me and he says something random and it just sets me off. I'm sure he's a lovely chap, really.
We all are. Thank you so much.
No worries.
Thank you so much, Stephen, and hope to see you again sometime.
I hope so. That was God great fun.
You. Cheers. Good to meet you, Keith.
Great fun to have you on.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.